Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
But going back to what you said, Ben Johnson saying he wants to see Caleb Williams be more of a point guard instead of a shooting guard. A point guard, they distribute, right? They get the ball out. They're okay with having just a quick pass if you go from there, as opposed to the shooting guard. They want to make all the plays. They want all the points. So Caleb Williams, when he starts scrambling around, trying to make something out of nothing, he doesn't need that. He just wants Caleb to sit in the pocket. Once he hits his back foot, throw to the guy at the first option. If it's not there, throw your check down and let your playmakers play.
It was one of the good moments from the broadcast yesterday. They had a rough day yesterday on the broadcast.
Kenny or Vilma or Megan or everybody.
Megan's only problem was that Ben got snippy and didn't come out for the halftime interview.
So Ben Johnson blew me off, but here's what I think he was worried about as opposed to talking to me. That ain't right, is
it? It's not right.
No.
Mr. Transparency.
Ian Swift once again. Hutchinson suffered a broken leg last year. And this is recovered by the Lions. Knocked loose by Brian Branch.
What a shot by Deion Branch. He comes up, bam, puts his hat right on the football. Big fan of Deion Branch.
Hey, man.
It happened too often.
It's hard. Names are difficult.
You can get them wrong, but he went three times in a row.
And then he called somebody Troy Brown, and Ben Coates came out there.
I don't think that's...
I thought I heard that.
No.
Okay.
It was the sickness or whatever you got going on.
I got a different feeling about Caleb's performance. Then Kurt, but we'll have time.
Well, wait, no, don't do that. Give us a 72-hour tease. How did you feel about the performance?
Well, let's hear what Ben said. Let's hear what Ben said today about the performance, because that will interest me greatly. Because I listened to Caleb in detail yesterday after the game, and I had some thoughts on that. But let's hear Ben from today.
Well, yeah, I did see significant growth. It's not perfect yet. There's still a number of plays where our eyes aren't quite in the right position, or we're holding on to the ball just a tick longer than what we're coaching. But I did see tremendous growth in terms of going through the progression. There were a few times there where we had to get to number three or number four in the read, and he was trusting his feet and his footwork and was able to get there. So I did think he got better from week one to week two. I'm encouraged by what I saw, and I'm hopeful that we'll continue to see another leap here this week.
Okay. Well, that's measured. That's measured, and that's okay. And that's him saying what he thinks is what I feel like I'm seeing. And as I mentioned to Kurt, I've talked to a lot of people about in the league, some on record, some off record, that Caleb just holds it too long. That he holds it too long, and then he starts to look down at his feet. And like we've talked about this, it's like the principal issue for so many quarterbacks that transition from a wide open college system to the kind of, you know, measured and very specific pro timing system. Stay there. Maybe he'll get popped in the mouth, but stay there.
Or maybe they don't get touched at all, like Jared Goff yesterday.
Well, that would be nice.
I mean, that's what I've meant by, like, it's okay if Caleb plays like Jared Goff. And I know that he might be more athletically gifted, but it's really great when your quarterback could just be like, oh, all right, yeah, I'm just going to get the ball out.
I'll give you one, and it's the aforementioned Brian Branch. Not Deion, but Brian. You remember the play when Brian Branch blitzed and DeAndre Swift picked him up on the right side? DeAndre Swift actually picked him up. Caleb panicked a little and spun right into Brian Branch.
Yep.
That was actually, DeAndre Swift did his job. Not perfect, maybe, but this is where Caleb's supposed to trust the middle of the line and step up. And I'm not crapping on him. I'm just talking about how this is the principal issue, and it's okay to point it out. It's okay to talk about it. And I think Ben right there did.
And it's okay for it to happen right now.
Yes.
If it's still happening as we get towards the end of the season, then there are some questions. Yeah. But for right now, like a lot of the, and that, I wonder how much easily it's coached, more easily it's coached when you can say, man, you did a lot of good things today. And I know that the game itself sucked, but individually you did a really nice job
yep.
with this, 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 and this. We can still get better with this, 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 and really this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what you hope for. And it's week two, and that Ben sees progress is a very good thing.
All right. So let's talk about one of the other issues that this team has organizationally. It's not getting people involved. You picked Colston Loveland with the idea of getting him involved. He wasn't really involved. You paid Cole Kmet years ago for him to get involved, and he wasn't really involved. You drafted Luther Burden Jr., or the third, sorry, Luther Burden to be involved, and he wasn't involved. And that doesn't even talk about the other two second-round picks that weren't even dressed for the game.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what Ben had to say about Burden and Loveland's lack of involvement.
Yeah, I kind of knew that first game that the tight end position wasn't going to be featured as much. I was hopeful that this game we would bounce back a little bit more, both with Cole and Colston. You know, I think Luther's slowly gaining the trust as we go here. We're trying to get him more packages as we're going. The way that we've talked about it as a coaching staff going into this week is we're going to have a lot more competition. I've alluded to it before. Just what these guys look like when the ball's not in their hands, that's a big deal for us. And so there were some plays there yesterday that we weren't quite as pleased with what that looked like on tape. And so we're going to find out this week at practice who wants to practice hard and who wants to be a little bit more involved with the game plan here going into Sunday.
Hmm. Okay, there's some accountability there.
Yeah, there is.
And if you go back to the first week, one of my complaints about Colston Loveland was he wasn't running routes efficiently. At least from my eye, he was not running routes efficiently and wasn't on time. So maybe they continue to see stuff. But again, like that's one of those things. Like these are your guys. Like these are the players that you wanted. How are they not doing what you want them to do?
Mm-hmm. You want to talk short yardage, or you want to talk about stuff that Caleb brought up yesterday? I feel like it's a little bit of a longer conversation. So
we got time.
Well, then let's listen to this.
Okay.
Okay. This is Caleb after the game, and go back to what Ben said about. Ben very definitively just said there's times he holds on to it too long, you know? And trust me, that's what people around the league are saying. That's what they're saying.
Well, I mean, they literally have put a clock on him, and yes. You get to see what the league average is and how far over that league average yeah. is. Now, he will probably defend that by saying, well, you know, I scramble around, I make plays, blah, 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 blah. Even though that's not exactly what they want him to do.
Well, with that in mind, here's Caleb after the game yesterday.
What do you see in your own performance over your individual performance over the first two games that you say this? I've got to get this on track right now.
I mean, first game, I missed a couple passes. I think this game, you know, hit some key passes and didn't feel like you know anything was off. My footwork was solid and was hitting my guys. So I think I got to go look at the tape and figure out, you know, this game, how it can help us, you know, physically and mentally, maybe on the sideline or something, or talking to the guys, whatever case may be. But haven't figured that out yet for this game, and I got to go figure it out and watch a film on the plane.
What's the dynamic been between you and Ben the last 2 weeks where there's some tough film to watch? He's also been very supportive of you publicly. What's the balance there in terms of accountability and support?
Tough film to watch. Yeah, there's always accountability with us and Ben. It's always you know, pointing a finger at yourself before you go point at anybody else. But I'm not necessarily going to say tough film or anything like that. Like, you know, it's football. You're going to make mistakes. You got to go out there and not be fearful of making a mistake. And that's how I play football. you know, if something happens, all right, cool, move on to the next play. And, you know, let's go back out there. And that's the mindset for myself and, you know, something I try and portray to everybody else. I threw a pick today, you know, came back out there and tried to go down and score again. And, you know, I think that's something that we're going to keep, you know, striving for. I think that's something that we're going to keep working on as a group and as a collective. But, you know, you always point the finger at yourself before you point the finger at anybody else. And I think that's the mindset for us and the team.
Does he know what he's doing wrong? He took accountability for the interception, but the holding the ball too long that his coach just said today, it is the issue, and it's an understandable issue. He said he's got to watch film, and does he know that he shouldn't do that? Or like you said just before we played the cut, Lawrence, does he believe he's supposed to go ahead and try to make a play still too much?
From what we heard in pregame yesterday and him talking after the game, or pregame last week, like the and him talking after yesterday's game, the idea of you don't need to be Superman, right? Like he seems to understand and says it publicly.
He gives voice to it.
He does. But then there are still times where inside of a game, do you know what that means? And maybe it's because you're in the middle of it, like the fog of playing football, that some of the instinctual stuff just kicks in.
Yeah, man,
and he does it.
Remember he said last week about, like, you know, the thing about being in the pocket is you look down and you see those guys, and like they're doing a great job, you know? Like, yeah, I think you're on it. And maybe that's just process. I don't want to be too hard on him if that's just process. I want him to know that that's process.
One of the things that I wonder about and have wondered about Caleb is how is someone going to get through to him? And when you have someone who is a prodigy, how open are they to critique and improvement? What are the things that are going to make me better? What do I have to do to get better? Am I willing to do that when doing me is what got me the Heisman Trophy and the number one pick overall? That's hard. It's funny. I was literally just, you know, talking with Molly Cruz about coaching and being coachable and the idea of it. It's one thing to say that you're coachable.
Oh, dude.
It's another thing to actually be coachable.
It's one thing to say that you embrace accountability. It's another to actually do it. And I think this is the human stuff that's going on with Ben and Caleb about breaking him down and building him back up and how we will see is the right answer.
The other part of it, too, is for a coach, how do you get through? Like, what are the devices that you use to try and get through to someone that you know has got talent? It's got to be frustrating, you know? And Ben is still very early in his relationship with Caleb Williams. There's still a lot more games for them to play.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure that he's just like, we can get you to this point. If you've heard me bring this up before, if you submit.
Yeah.
If you submit to this, if you allow for there to be some coaching, like, we can get you there.
So, look, there are bigger issues today. We led talking about Ryan Poles and the roster. But this particular issue of Ben and Caleb is the principal developmental issue of the entire season. That's what you have to find out.
They're buying into you, right? That's the message. They're buying into you, buy back into them.
And there's people are going to, you know, put their cojones out there and say ridiculous things like Colin Coward today, like saying that Ben Johnson's not the right guy for Caleb, which is a ridiculous thing to say after 2 weeks.
It's a really interesting heel turn that Colin has made on Caleb.
You know, and people are going to declare all kinds of stuff. This is a process, and your team is bad, so you're just going to have to watch him work on this for a good long portion of the season.
I am concerned, though, that with younger players on this roster, that you might have an issue of them either not knowing what it takes to play, or even after being told what it takes to play, them not providing that. And that's not just Caleb. That's clearly Burden and Loveland and Trapillo and maybe Turner. Like, the fact that you have this group of players that you were super excited about,
mm-hmm.
and you haven't figured out a way to get through to them, and not all of them are Caleb. Like, you have guys on offense and defense here. You haven't figured out a way to get through to them. It's another reason why I say being a play caller is a different job than being the head coach of a team.
Week 8 of the first year, Dan Campbell, they lost to the Eagles 44-6. That's week 8. There was 35-17. There was 34-11 mixed in there in some of the early seasons. Like, there's some beatdowns that those Lions took when they went 3-13-1 and then started the next year 1-6. And we're just going to have to deal with the fact that some of that is going to happen.
They gave up 51 week 17 that year.
They did. 51-29 at Seattle. And then they beat the Packers 37-30. I remember that game. I remember that it was like, ooh, maybe they are figuring something out. And they had an off season in Detroit. Like, ooh, maybe they are. And then it was 1-6. But then they did flip switch then.
Okay. I don't like us drawing too many parallels, even though it's very easy to draw the parallels to the Lions because of where Ben came from. I don't like it because they didn't have the number one overall pick in the draft.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they did. They do.
In Jared Goff.
Right, but he wasn't their draft pick.
Yeah, but I'm not ready to declare we got a lemon. I'm not.
Last week you kind of did,
I said, we might have. Remember, I said we might have got a lemon. And I was horrified to have to put that in the thread. And it broke your little heart. Broke your little heart for a little while.
It also, J.J. McCarthy is very lucky that he got injured. Because people would have been coming for J.J. McCarthy this week, too. Don't know of how much you watched last night, but
rough stuff.
Not getting those text messages today. Not getting those. Hey, you guys should have Hubble on. He was right about J.J. McCarthy. Not getting those text messages today.
What is the side swipe for the great Hub Arkish?
It's not about Hub.
How about you made it about Hub?
It's not about
Hub. I'm sitting right here.
It's about the people like, you guys should have Hubble on because he was right about McCarthy. Well, why don't we wait? Why don't we just wait?
He's now played 7 bad quarters of football to start the season.
That is correct,
oh,
Alex.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, exactly.
He has played a lot of bad football.
I hope the Golden
and one great quarter of football.
Yeah, right. I remember that one.
I have a question for you guys about Caleb Williams.
Oh, Alex Kuhn, hello.
No, and Speaks, you bring up him not having to be Superman.
Yeah.
How do you tell somebody that he doesn't have to be Superman while giving him the worst defense to date in the NFL and no running game? Like, oh, just be a ball distributor. You don't have to do too much. Oh, boom, you're down 21 points.
If
you have
Caleb,
no running game at
it,
all.
It does look familiar. If you're Caleb, you're like, wait a minute. This is exactly what happened to me at USC.
I remember the Notre Dame game. You know? Yeah, no, I hear you, Alex. That's why you have to cut slack for that, for some of that second half, for a lot of that second half, and why I think it's probably the right move to go ahead and take him out.
I agree. It's just concerning. Like, I agree with you. He doesn't need to get into that rhythm of feeling like he has to do everything. But to date, in his NFL career, he's been put in that position.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by the conversations. Like, I know a lot of guitar players who just show up and play way too much and try to, like, completely steal the stage. And
sounds personal.
Yeah, but they know who they are.
Yeah, but they did the anthem with you.
No.
No?
That guy is able to sublimate his ego like anytime he needs to. Like, what is for the greater good? That's the whole thing. It's like, so I, you know, and that's what a lot of young players have to learn. And they're young, man. It's hard. Like, I thought I was the king bleep of the world at 23, 24. You know, you couldn't tell me nothing.
And imagine if someone gave you first round money.
Yeah, dude, it was all over. It was all over. I'd be going to the Indian buffet every day. Star of India over there on Sheffield near Belmont. Oh, my
Sounds
God.
Sounds delicious.
Man, I used to bring a Sports Illustrated over there and I'd eat until the magazine was done. That was not a good plan. Let me just tell you. And he tried to walk home as fast as he can. It was difficult.
What did Doug call it? The green apple quick steps?
I did. I had the sog paneer quick steps. That's what I had. You got to be careful out there, man.
You do?
Yeah, you do.
But I get it. I just think that it's weird that almost an entire group of your... And maybe we can look back on this years from now and go... That was Ben setting the standard for what is acceptable and unacceptable for Bears football going forward.
That's the dream. And frankly, it's more important than how many games you lose this year.
I,
Come on, man.
I am tired of that.
I get it.
I'm tired of that. I'm tired of everything's going to be fine in the future. And then you get to the future, it's like, well, we've got to restart things first.
Yep, I feel you.
And then everything's going to be all right in the future. And we got to kind of restart
things. Yeah, when did we do moral victories? 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
And this is the NFL, where it's year to year and volatility. And like any team could make a jump from worst to first. And this is like now three consecutive seasons of this trash.
Shouldn't happen, Chris. Chris, it shouldn't happen. I don't want him to jump over the chair. Call me Chris one more time.
Our guy Joe O. Lawrence sent me that video this weekend of Jim Rome finally clarifying that that was not staged.
Oh, really?
I never thought that for one second.
Not for one minute did I think it was staged.
That felt real.
He was warned. Yeah. He was warned multiple times.
Yeah. Tanny's warned me multiple times. I don't heed his warning. I call him Chris anytime I like it. That's right. He didn't like it.
Don't get the table flipped over on you.
he's got glass in between, right over there.
The only thing in between you is...
You probably won't say it again.
I bet I do.
Okay.
Chris?
And then there's a table on top of you.
Yeah, there is.
And a giant man grabbing you by the scruff of your shirt.
Folks, that's a quarterback, Jim Everett, back in the day. If you don't understand this one, we understand. We understand. We need you to listen as well. We do.
No, but I like it.
Yeah.
I like it too. We need to take a break. We're going to check in on Jalen Johnson and see how he's doing and see if the reports are true that he is not going to be available for the rest of the season. One would think, considering the injury that he had that he talked about on the pivot, that a tweak of that is not good for playing football. So we'll check in with Jalen Johnson. Don't go anywhere. That's next on the school.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on the score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Four.
You don't do what you do. Show the world your gifts. Show the world all your hard work. They strapped up all day.
Jalen Johnson, the note.
Jalen Johnson.
Jalen is a premier player.
Starting cornerback for your Chicago Bears.
Jalen Johnson.
Hey, he nice too, boy. He nice too.
Oh yeah.
Two-time Pro Bowl selection.
Picked off by Jalen Johnson.
2023 All-Pro.
Problem was he threw that the one guy you don't want to go attack in man-to-man, Jalen Johnson.
Well, and it's a little bit of the Deion Sanders effect when you're playing opposite of Jalen Johnson.
Takes you inside the locker room after every Bears game.
Goff and third and 10, it's dropped. St. Brown. Johnson may have gotten a piece of it.
Jared Goff going to his main man, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and there is Jalen Johnson, gets just enough on it. Amon-Ra had both hands on it, ends up with the incompletion and pass breakup from Jalen Johnson, and unfortunately, Jalen is still on the ground.
Jalen Johnson with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Getting ready to check in with Jalen Johnson. He's going to join us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. CircaLasVegas.com. As you can imagine, probably a rough day for Jalen, considering the team got destroyed and he's likely out for the rest of the season.
Man, we'll give him a chance to speak on that as he sees fit. I'm pleased to be resuming our relationship with him. That play that you heard Jonathan Vilma break down, man, was like, oh, here we go. Jalen on Amon-Ra making a great play. And you're like, well, whatever happened earlier, at least here he is now on that man. But then with no Jalen, Amon-Ra found himself with a lot of room and a lot of comfort and three touchdowns.
Yeah, it was a really good day for Detroit's offense. Not a great day for the Bears' defense. And now Jalen joins us here on The Score. Jalen, thanks for joining us. What can you tell us about your injury and whether or not we will see you play for the rest of the year?
So my injury is kind of complex, I'd say. Of course, as I've spoken to before, I partially tore my adductor off my pelvic bone. So pretty much with that being a groin injury, there's a lot that goes into the groin area. Of course, you have your leg, your hip flexors, you have your adductors, things like that. And then you also, and that's from like your leg side going into that pelvic bone connection. And then from the other side, you have your core muscle. That's where like you have your psoas and all your other core muscles and things like that that attach to that pelvic bone as well. So I know when I first tore my adductor off of my pelvic bone, that in itself was, it sounds worse than what it really is. I know that's part of the operation of surgery they do when they repair like sports hernias and things like that. Of course, it was painful and you got to rehab it or whatever and get it back strong. But for me now, I feel like with that being the case, I feel like the other side of the top part of it was compromised. And now that's kind of what is affected now. So I think it's kind of just everything as a whole in that whole region just needs to get, I would say, repaired. And kind of just trying to figure out where I want to go from there. Of course, through time, trying to see what's the best option, who's the best option, what that looks like, the timelines and things like that. So I'm kind of all trying to figure it out myself.
So when you think about the idea of doing surgery, like, do you talk to other players that maybe mm-hmm. have done something similar and who they would recommend if that's the choice that you make?
Yeah, for sure. I think as far as guys in the NFL, we all kind of go to the same people. So, I mean, I've talked to some guys with the Bears, talked to some other guys outside the building, of course, and just trying to see who knows what and who knows who at the end of the day. So, I mean, I've gotten a lot of good recommendations. I've gotten some guys that – or a guy that has done a lot of players that have the same injury as myself. So I'm just going to really dive into some other opinions and really just try to make the best decision.
Jalen, are you bummed out? We're bummed out. Like, you know how you feel at this moment to have your season in jeopardy.
How do I feel? Honestly, I'm still.
Oh, we lost him. Right? That's that is the
universal sign that we just disconnected with someone. He didn't want to talk about feelings.
No, I think he does.
Want to talk about hospital procedures.
I think he does. Well, I'll tell you.
He does want to talk about feelings.
I think he does. Like, what's interesting is that, you know, like via text with the show, he said that everything happens for a reason. Like, he's a very thoughtful, faithful dude. So Jalen, that text was impactful. That idea that everything happens for a reason. I mean, that's a beautiful and faithful thought in a moment like this. So maybe you're not bummed out. I don't know.
I think we lost him again.
Yeah.
I told you didn't want to talk about feelings.
Yeah, no, maybe so.
It's okay.
Yeah. No, I think he does want to talk about it. It's just a connection issue.
But yeah, it's definitely anyone who's had like an injury and you're trying to recover from it. And then there's all the other stuff, like the kinetic chain stuff. Like,
Dude, his knowledge of all that was doctor-esque, or I should say high performance athlete-esque.
That's right. It's his business.
Yeah.
Like, his body is his business. So he has to figure out how to make all of this stuff work. And it's scary. Like, that's the type of thing where I know that the surgeon is going to be like, oh yeah, we'll get you right. But mm-hmm. the amount of time that you're going to lose, the amount of time that's, you know, knocked off your career, like all of that stuff, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rough thing to try to get through.
Yeah, it's good that he's got contacts around the league. It's good that he can reach out, whether it's to his agent or to his colleagues. We're going to take a break and try to come back and reestablish with Jalen Johnson.
All right, so more with Jalen Johnson after a quick timeout next here on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I'm just saying, Lawrence, you were saying some stuff last week, if my memory is correct.
That's why Danny left.
Afternoons on The Score.
Now that we have gone lo-fi with the... Because we like to go hi-fi. People like to see Jalen. Like, But since we've got technical issues, we had to go back old school sports radio and just get him on the phone. So Jalen Johnson is here. Speaks, you were asking, Jalen.
How are you bummed out, or what's your state of mind right now about this injury, Jay?
Yeah, no, I think overall I'm in a positive space. I think, of course, when you put in so much time, put in so much effort, of course it hurts when you're looking pretty much for your season to be ended, and it's not ideal. I put in an extreme amount of work in preparation, but I feel like, too, at the same time, is I never question why God is doing something. I think for me it's just committed to that, and I think there's ample opportunity for me to fall into the wrong mental space, and I won't do anything but besides hurt me, hurt my family, hurt my future, hurt my team. So for me, I'm just really focused on what's right now in the moment, and right now I'm being taken away from the game for a little bit. So whatever that looks like, I just have to really recommit, find myself in a different way, and then really just keep going from there and attack each and everything, whether that's rehab, post-surgery or not post-surgery, whatever it looks like. I just got to continue to push myself and get better.
That's kind of the advanced self-awareness we've come to know in our conversations through the years, man. Can we go backwards for a second? How did it happen? Was it just like normal football-related workouts for you in the offseason?
Oh, you're talking about the first one? Yeah, I was just doing releases with some receivers. So, I mean, again, I did it on, I think, Monday before we had a report. I'm not sure. It might have been like the 14th, 15th or something like that, before we had a report in July. Just doing really routine releases. I mean, I was doing them pretty much all off season, and then even beforehand, I did one a few reps before that, and we were doing like four or five back-to-backs. I had just did one, and then I was on my second one, and then I just was playing defense, and sure enough, I felt the pop, and then it was done. It kind of happened that quick.
And then what a lot of people are wondering, like, were you 100%? Were you ready this past week, or was it, do you feel like you tried to rush it a little bit, or the team tried to rush it, that kind of thing?
Nah, I wouldn't say there was any rushing involved. I think it was definitely a sense of urgency, I would say, to get back, but definitely no rushing and doing anything reckless. But I would just say I felt comfortable playing. I mean, I know if I didn't feel comfortable, I wouldn't have played no matter what anybody was saying. But I think for me, I definitely pushed myself good enough. I felt strong. I felt really good during practice. Of course, there was some soreness and things like that. But to me, I mean, that comes with increasing the volume and things like that. So really heading into the game, I felt really good. I wouldn't take the decision back to playing the game.
Going back to like this team being put together, the coaching staff being put together, knowing that you were going to get out there and play yesterday, what was exciting you about playing with Dennis Allen?
In what regards?
Like, as a player, like what about what he does defensively suited you as a player and had you wanting to be back on that field?
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, I wanted to be on the field no matter who's the damn coach. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to answer from that perspective. But I would definitely say just having opportunities to make plays. Of course, I think being put in more coverage situations where you got to cover your guy, where you have to match certain things, even on the third down, being put in position to be able to play certain routes, jump and undercut routes like that. I think it's the creativity that I would say draws you to wanting to play in the defense, for sure. I think for me too, being able to see the plays and see certain things where it's like, okay, I can see how that's going to translate in the game. Definitely would have wanted more opportunities under that style of defense, under that style of play calling. But again, it didn't work out. But there's definitely plenty of ample opportunities to make plays in this defense.
At one point, you were blitzing, and Tyreek was on Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm not going to lie, a lot of us on the couch, because we know a lot of stuff on the couch, man. We're smart as hell. We're like, why isn't Jalen on Amon-Ra St. Brown? Like, we've talked about traveling with the number one wide receiver before. Was that the plan at all yesterday, or no?
No, that wasn't the plan. I think, too, I mean, on that one, we were running like a simulated cover two. So, I mean, Tariq was in the half. It wasn't like a man-to-man situation either way on that. But I think it was just for us, just trying to get comfortable. Because, I mean, again, I've only had 1 week of practice. And even then, it was a shorter week off the Monday night. So, I mean, we really only had two practices. So, kind of just trying to keep it keep it regular as far as just play one side and go from there. And then throughout the season, throughout time, and getting familiar and letting me get really my bearings as far as playing with this defense, playing in football game. Anyway, that was my first time even playing in full pads. I mean, I had to go take my full pads and go hit a dang one man sled to try to get prepared for the physical side of it. So, I mean, there's a lot of factors that went into the decision to just stay in left and right.
I know that you're worried about you, as you should be, because any time that you have to face a decision of rehab or surgery, like, that's hard. I am wondering what you think that the defense overall could do better, and what did Detroit do well yesterday that put them that far ahead of you guys?
Oh, what can we do better? I honestly think it's just more so of just focusing on what we got to do. And I think as simple as that may sound, I feel like when you get out there and the guns are blazing and you're trying to make plays and things aren't going a certain way, and it's like you want to do this and do that, it's like that's at that time, that's where you got to fight the urge to try to go force a play and make a play. And it's just, let me just do my job and do my assignment. And I feel like all the big plays, as we went over it, all the big plays weren't really just, I would say, like, good calls or anything like that on their end. And at the time, it feels like, dang, they got our number. But it's like, nah, we got our own number. Like, we're not guarding the people we're supposed to guard. We're not connecting to routes that we're supposed to connect to. We're not communicating who's doing what, who's taking who on certain motions. We're not lined up in the right spots. And they capitalized and beat us on all of those things that we messed up on. So, I mean, I think it was good on their end for sure for capitalizing on our mistakes, but it was really bad ball on our end throughout that game.
Man, yeah, it's interesting because you try to figure out from our spot, like, what's coaching, what's the injuries, what's communication, like how much is on the players, how much is on the players, because that's a rough defensive effort overall. In fact, it's the roughest one ever. Did you know that, Jay? It's
I was about to say, I know that was the worst one since I've been here.
Yeah. Well, by average yards per play, 8.81 yards per play.
Like 8 something,
yeah. Yeah. It's the highest average the Bears have allowed in franchise history. It's crazy.
God dang. I didn't know that.
I know. So it's like, so how much of that is on the players is what we're trying to figure out, you know?
I would say a lot of it was on us, honestly speaking. I think it was probably, of course, I mean, it's never going to be a perfect game, but I thought there was probably two, maybe three calls that DA probably would have wanted back. But, I mean, for the most part, it was just us not doing what we're supposed to do. And I feel like, and that was the thing, too, with us. It's like, it's not about them catching the ball. I think it's more so how it looks, or it's not them getting certain yardage. It's just more so about how it looks. And it's like, if we can just, I don't even want to say do our job because that sounds so, like, simple, but it's like if we can just focus on our guy, because, I mean, every time you line up, you have a guy that you're supposed to read, you have a guy that you're supposed to guard, you have a guy you're supposed to attach to and things like that. So it's like if we can just focus really on that better in the moment and not trying to go force things and make things happen, it's like just worry about what you got. If we're in man, just worry about your guy in man. If we're in zone, just worry about a guy that comes to you and things like that. It was really, really simple from that way. But in the moment, a lot of guys trying to do things outside of themselves.
What's your opinion on whether or not a hurt player should be around the facility?
A hurt player should be around.
Like, if you go on IR, are you okay with, or do you want to be in the facility, or is it better for you to stay away?
I'm never going to say it's better for me not to be involved. So I think there's definitely value that I can always add. But I think, too, it depends on the situation and being on IR. I think, of course, if you're looking to return back in 5 weeks, then I think you should definitely be in the building because, again, your time's coming. You need that time to continue to learn a playbook and things like that. I feel like situation where season might be ending, I think it's almost best for that player to then go do what they need to do to get healthy, to get back right. And then also to that same extent, there's also that thing of helping the mentality of being there to help the team and help the room in whatever way you can. So I think everybody's situation is different. Everybody's impact is different. So, I mean, there's plenty of reasons why you would want a guy there, and there's plenty of reasons why you may want him to take that time to herself.
Yeah, it's an understandable answer. I mean, to recap from the beginning and kind of what you sort of alluded to, it's a short IR stint is possible and out for the season is possible, right? Both those options are still on the table, depending on what you and the doctors decide to do?
I would say so. I feel like it's kind of tricky right now to honestly give a definitive answer, but I would definitely say trying to figure out what's the best move long term, because I feel like you don't want it to keep happening. Of course, rehab and did all that for 8 weeks and came back and played a quarter and a half and something happened. So now that there's more damage to an area, it's like, how much do you want to try to push through before you go get it? And then I feel like even if it does work until November and then I get hurt, now it's like pushing surgery back until November, December. There's plenty of things that you can try to do. And there's no right or wrong answer. I think it's just really what's in the best interest, first and foremost, for myself and then for the team after that.
You've always been such a team guy. Is it hard to be in a place where you might have to make a decision that's primarily a Jalen decision instead of a Bears decision?
I wouldn't even say that this is that. Sure, it's not like I don't have damage done to my body. Like, I haven't had muscles and ligaments already damaged and messed up. So, I wouldn't even say it's a Jalen decision per se. I think, too, I don't want to get out there in the game and I'm hurting the team because I can't play the way that everybody knows I can play. So I don't think it's just as simple as a Jalen decision. I think it, of course, starts with me because it's my body, of course. But at the end of the day, the Bears invested a lot in me, and they want to get their return. And I know they can't get all of their return with a hurt Jalen. So
yeah.
I think for everybody's sake, it's best for me to get whatever it needs fixed or figure out the best way to get it fixed and then go from there. So there's longevity in their investment in my productivity.
Yeah, it was categorized as a new injury, and I think you answered it at the top. It's complex. Like, it's a different part of the groin that got hurt. So maybe it was the bottom, now it's the top. So it is technically new, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think in hindsight, when I did it, it kind of felt the same. But as kind of the pain meds wore off, I wasn't on the tour at all and things like that. It was like, nah, this feels a little different. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not the same thing, same area, same things affected, but it's definitely a different area.
Is J.J. McCarthy any good? He looked bad last night, looked good last week against us. We're trying to figure that out, Jalen.
He looked good for one quarter. So, he's trying to get back to that fourth quarter, J.J., and throughout all the quarters. So, I think just overall, there's learning pains and things like that. There's plenty of guys that went through it. I don't want him to be good for selfish reasons, but I'm sure he'll find a way to be successful in some way, shape, or form.
Jalen, we appreciate you. Get better. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, indeed. You guys have a good one. Good talking to you.
You too.
It's Jalen Johnson, and that's where we end the show today. There's still more stuff for us to talk about, but we do have a Cubs game that we need to get to tonight. But we will be back tomorrow, and we will go through a lot more stuff and go through what Jalen had to say. A lot of people were very interested in finding out what he had to say.
Yeah, and his willingness to talk, even while hurt, is pretty remarkable.
For sure. So for Alex, for Tanny, for my partner, Wheezy, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support. You show this show every single day. We will do our best, to repay the favor tomorrow, starting at 2 o'clock. Cubs baseball is next!
Wow, this has just been such a pleasure. I'm such a lucky boy. I can't wait to go home.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.